We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. And this episode is brought to you by betonline.ag and Nantucket. But Jack, how are we feeling after another Nets win?
History breakers, my dude.
Yes, they ended the longest ever winning streak in Canada by a Canadian sports team. It was a 15-game winning streak by the Raptors. That was ended tonight by the Nets. 101-91 at Barclays Center. They get some revenge over a previous game. Believe the Nets are on a 3-game winning streak as well, or a 5-game winning streak at home, by mistake. But Jack, before we get into it, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, and Blue Wire Pods.
So Nick, how did they get this one done? It seemed like a bit of a slog for the Brooklyn Nets, but they grinded it out.
Yeah, as Kenny Atkins said after the game, you know, elite defense, just a high compete level and just that will to win. I felt like the energy, the tenacity was there from this team. And defensively, I thought they did a good job. Obviously, Toronto missed a lot of open shots, but they did a great job of disrupting them. And I think that's something they haven't done a ton this season. But this game, it just felt like they were really getting to the Raptors. They weren't getting comfortable. I also thought they did a nice job in transition this game, not giving up too many easy buckets to a team like Toronto.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, just looking at it, Nick, and then seeing some of your highlights and seeing some of the recaps, that, you know, to hold, and, you know, obviously the Raptors were on such a streak that it had to end sometime. You know, I'm going to credit you with this win, Nick, because you spoke it into existence on the last pod, and I know our guy Nick Cavallo probably might not be happy about that, but this was, this momentum heading into the All-Star break is crucial. I know you said that the Nets have won, I think it's like something like three straight, three of their four. I think they've won six of their last eight, five at home. They're playing some really good basketball. Karis LeVert's playing really, really well. You know, defense has been outstanding. Who would have thought before the season started and when we're going through those defensive woes that the Nets would be a top 10, near top eight defensive team after tonight's performance? I don't think that's been updated yet. But Nick, before we keep going, it's time for our BetOnline.ag star performer of the night. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. Who was your star performer of the night? I'm going to guess this one is a pretty easy one for you.
No, honestly, there's two guys that come to mind. And it's okay. Both of our guys, Karis LeVert and Joe Harris. I think the only reason that Harris is in this conversation, I think the turnovers hurt Karis' stat line a little bit. But I'm just going to give him the nod because I felt like defensively, this was one game where we saw Karis, you know, provide some of those flashes of being elite. He just was so disruptive, getting in the passing lanes and reading plays and just making that extra effort that, you know, ended up turning into a Nets win.
Four steals, Nick. Four steals. That's something that, you know, the, you know, Jimmy Butlers, the Ben Simmons sort of do. You know, those guys are averaging like over two a game. In terms of getting into the passing lanes, was it more his help defense? Was it his one-to-one defense? We know that, you know, against Phoenix a few nights ago, he was really good against Devin Booker. Was it a combination of both?
combination of both. There was a couple plays where he read the passing lanes, and then there was an excellent play in transition. He had Siakam one-on-one. He read the move perfectly, got his hand in there, and got the easy steal. It was beautiful. It was just something that you see from a really elite defensive player. Not saying Karis is there yet, but it was just one of those flashes where you're like, all right, Karis, we know you can do this. You just need to do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's going to be the hardest thing. And I think that he has that potential to do it if, like we spoke about on previous pods, that he maintains his confidence. He stays with that starting lineup. You know, he plays sort of a defensive sort of stopping role in ways, you know, next to Kyrie Irving. And, you know, obviously we're seeing these flashes. We're seeing this potential. We want that consistency to remain. But, Nick, tell me every single little thing that Joe Harris did tonight, because I need to have some good dreams. It's been a bit of a tough week at work.
You know, it wasn't like Joe Harris was, you know, killing it from three, you know, getting, you know, seven or eight threes. The Raptors did a nice job of running him off the line. Kyle Lowry was on him a lot of the game, pushing him off that line. He did foul and get, you know, those three free throw attempts. But we saw a little bit more of mid-range Joe. And I thought there was some really good opportunities in there and some nice decisions from him where he just had the wide open space where Toronto was kind of packing the paint. And it just made more sense for Joe to pull up. He did that, knocked it down. I also thought he had a couple big rebounds late in this game too. You know, Joe's pretty active on the board. So overall, it was a nice performance from him. Just like that perfect role, that just like complementary piece that you need on a winning team.
Please tell me we saw a flex.
No, we saw the pump. And we saw it from the bench and we saw it from Joe. So that combination is something I think we'll see a lot moving forward.
White boy Joe is my favorite. Joe Harris. But there you have it, guys. The Bet Online AG Star Performers of the Night. Remember to use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. But Nick, Jared Allen, a double-double in freaking 20 minutes? Jesus.
Yeah, Jared, you know, was good in this game. DeAndre was good in this game. You know, Jared's activity, he also had a couple plays in the second quarter, which kind of ignited the Nets to attack the Raptors a little bit more and get to the free throw line. I want to say there was a couple possessions where it was almost maybe back-to-back where he had an and one. They were trying to switch in the second. I can't remember if it was the second or third quarter. The Raptors elected to switch. Nets capitalized on it, back-to-back plays where they got Van Vliet trying to cover Jared Allen, cutting to the rim, finished a layup too. It was just good stuff, and it was just something you're seeing from this team, starting to get a better feel from each other and knowing like, hey, Jared's got a small on him. I'm going to hit him running, and he's going to finish his play.
Yeah, I think he matched his total and double doubles from last year already, and we've still got, you know, 930 games left in the season. You know, we were chatting a little bit about it off wax and the fact that, you know, DeAndre and Jared Allen, as frustrating as DeAndre Jordan can be, and maybe Jared Allen was venting his frustration by punching him in the face. What was going on there? What's going on? That seemed like a relatively forceful punch.
I honestly don't know. I was like too happy already in the moment of enjoying the Nets playing well. And I just saw that. I don't know. It was something, but him and DeAndre were hugging afterwards. So it couldn't have been too bad.
I mean, yeah, we know. I think we probably underrate because we analyze every single game and we analyze every single performance from pretty much every single player, that we find it hard to analyze the off-court value that DeAndre Jordan has provided. And I think that ever since we've been doing this pod, there might not be a guy who's been a better locker room presence in terms of creating a jovial atmosphere. That obviously Theo Pinson and Jared Dudley come to mind a little bit. But DeAndre Jordan being out there for extended periods of time, also being able to, you know, be the bridge in terms of like the superstars. He knows that he's not, you know, an absolute superstar. He said it before that he's frustrated that he's not getting starters, yeah, you know, getting to start. But the relationship between him and DeAndre Jordan, him and Jared Allen, the young center, seems to be pretty damn good, even if Jared Allen does want to punch him in the face every now and then.
Yeah, I think DeAndre kind of provides a fun factor for the Nets team in the locker room, to, you know, a little bit less serious than a Kyrie or a KD. And then also, I think, like, you see it on the court. Like, he's always trying to have fun and make somebody laugh, and that's part of his character. But just getting back to Jared Allen, love the five offensive rebounds. There was just an effort for them to attack the boards from both centers, knowing that they were just going to mostly put out Serge Ibaka. And Chris Boucher, you know, he's a smaller guy. He's a slender guy, and they were taking advantage of that, taking advantage of Serge, who's not necessarily the biggest center. Serge had his moments offensively, but they attacked him on the board. So props to these guys.
Serge is too busy doing art to be, you know, focused. But he looked like one of the best performers of the night, and he's been, you know, linked to the Nets in the past, so we might have to bring him up at some stage in the future. But Nick, any other performers that stood out? You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, solid night, 9 assists from him. Have you seen more consistency in his playmaking potential over this mini stretch?
Yeah, I feel that way. I just think like he's been great with his decision making. Kenny alluded to that, I think, pregame and postgame. You know, 0 turnovers, 9 assists. That's tough to do. He's getting back to that Spencer that led the league in assist to turnover ratio and just making really smart plays out there. And he didn't necessarily shoot the ball great in this game, but it felt like he had some big buckets, especially when the Raptors were trying to get some momentum.
Yeah, it's all about timing. And there was one play tonight where that ball just fizzed around and it ended up with a Spencer Dinwiddie three. It was beautiful basketball to watch. And it seemed to me that the assists were on point. 27 assists tonight, Nick, on 36 made field goals.
The game started, 9 made field goals, 9 assists. So right from the start, you could feel it. And honestly, the Nets could have had more assists if they were actually shooting a decent percentage from three in this game. Like I mentioned to you off air, they probably miss, 15 to 20 wide open threes.
Every single player, bar Wilson Chandler, had 2 assists or more. And, it's really entertaining basketball to watch. And I think it's a part of the offensive identity of this team without a Kyrie Irving. And I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving, he can ball stop a little bit, but he is also makes good decisions when he has the ball in his hands as well. So obviously when he does come back, hopefully we can maintain this momentum. And, Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, we've spoken about it, that in his six-man role, I think he's going to bring a lot to the bench. He has such a great synergy with DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan himself had 4 assists tonight as well, 10 boards. He's continuing to play really, really well. But Nick, Garrett Temple, Wilson Chandler, Torian Prince, any takeaways from those guys and their performances?
Yeah, another rough shooting performance for Prince, and it feels like that really has a toll on his game. Like, if he shoots well, his game is even better. If he shoots poorly, it kind of impacts his game on both ends of the floor. I didn't think he was terrible defensively. I just thought there was a couple times where he could have made better decisions offensively. In terms of Garrett Temple, a solid game from Temple. Nothing too crazy, not too bad, just playing his role. And Wilson Chandler, I know like a lot of people haven't been huge fans of him, and especially his inconsistent offensive game. But defensively, he definitely provides some value in understanding verticality and how big he is. There was a couple plays down low where he was able to kind of hold his ground. And like I mentioned, the Nets did play some small ball in this game, rolling Chandler at center.
I mean, if it works, it works. And we know the physicality that Wilson Chandler does bring. He is a good rebounder. He's just an all-round solid vet. Did hit a couple of threes tonight as well. When that is happening, the Nets offense does really hum. Overall from the field, the Nets were 9 of 35 from three. But a lot of that was, Torian Prince going 1 of 7. Karis LeVert going 0 of 4. In that sort of sense, the offense doesn't have to be humming for the Brooklyn Nets to get a win. And in
ever seen an Untuck button-down? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuckit. The original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuckit shirts always fit at the perfect untuck length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Myself included, being 6'3", it's extremely difficult to find shirts that fit right. Untuckit makes it easy. They also have a ton of styles to choose from. Wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuckit shirts, you'll never look baggy, too long, or too big again. And their website's easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit Untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's Untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off.
Where does this win rank for you over maybe not the season overall, Nick? I mean, we do that many podcasts. It's hard to remember, every single game. But as a win overall, where does this rank for you?
I think it probably is a top five win on the season. Okay. Like you mentioned, it's kind of hard to gauge the wins because at different parts of the season, you're feeling certain ways. And it feels like whatever's the most recent win feels so important because it's at that time. You're just going to have that recency bias. But I think the fact is the Raptors are on a 15-game winning streak. They're playing one of the best teams in the NBA. The Nets just lost to them, last week in a close one, which they felt like they probably should have won. So for me, I love the fact that they beat a team that they just previously played. It's a division rival who, bodied them earlier in the season, but they're able to bounce back and get the win because this is the type of thing you have to do in a playoff series. You're going to play the same team again in the next couple of days, so you need to be able to bounce back and beat them. And I felt like the Nets just came out with the energy and they knew what they needed to do to win. Yeah, Toronto didn't have their best game. They ran out of gas probably late in this one, but props to the Nets. And I think it's a big momentum win. You know, after beating Indiana, then going against Toronto, winning at home, going to the All-Star break, I think anytime you can, you know, win back-to-back games going into the All-Star break, it's positive momentum going to post-All-Star break.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially when teams like Orlando are getting some wins around the wings as well. You know, it just helps the Nets that little bit more. And Coach Kenny seems to be growing in confidence as well. He was saying after the game via our guy, Billy Reinhart, that he's starting to discover this team a little bit more and its individual players. And he singled out DeAndre Jordan, the point of how to use him a little bit better. How did you think Kenny was tonight? Obviously, that last play sticks out in the Toronto Raptors loss. And, you know, we blamed a lot on Kenny when we did record the bottom, and we've spoken about it in the past as well. We've given him a lot of grief. But we've also given him a lot of praise. In terms of his performance as a coach tonight, Nick, how would you rank it?
Yeah, I thought it was a solid performance. I mean, I think there still was an opportunity to play Rodions in this game. I didn't think TLC was amazing, but he only played 11 minutes. But Wilson Chandler was fine. I think he's starting to get a better feel for his rotations. I also thought he staggered minutes a little bit differently in the fourth quarter. It felt like Joe Harris was in earlier than he normally is, which I thought was a nice boost because things can get a little bit stagnant without the spacing, especially when he typically brings in Torian Prince, I think, with that second unit late. But Prince didn't have it, so he elected to go with Joe, and I thought that was the right move here. And like I mentioned to you, there were some adjusting to what the Raptors were doing. I like this game from Kenny, but I think like that one of the biggest differences over this last stretch is his minute allocation for Caris LeVert. Like playing Caris like he's a, you know, borderline star player and giving him, you know, not the keys to the team, but just giving him that role that he needs to have to be as impactful as he was. You know, Caris didn't shoot well from 3-0-4, but he still had 20 points on 10 of 20 from the field. 50% is great for a guard. And like I mentioned, a defensive energy. So I think like some credit goes to Kenny for empowering Caris and trying to get him back to the lane. Obviously, a lot of it is just LeVert finding his rhythm and stuff, but you got to give some credit to Kenny for playing him 36 minutes, the most on the team.
Yeah, I think that the key word you used there, Nick, for me anyway, is rhythm. And I think Caris is very much a rhythm player. And, you know, 20 minutes or not, we've spoken about it in the past. It's like, how do you expect him to make an impact in that sort of role? You know, I think Spencer can do it a little bit more because he just has a wider skill set in terms of his ability to impact and lift his teammates. Caris LeVert is still good, still did have 4 assists. But Spencer Dinwiddie just has a better game feel for me than Caris LeVert does. Now, obviously, Caris LeVert has other strengths himself. But, you know, you give the minutes to Caris LeVert, he can work himself into the game. He knows how to get his own shot a little bit. Obviously, the three ball will fall here and there. He's been decent of late other than tonight's performance. You know, he rebounds the ball well. He had a couple of offensive boards too, which is really positive. So for him,
one really big one, Jack, where it was late in this game and he went and got his own board over like three Raptors and then got the putback. That was a big play in this game. We saw the Caris flex. Not necessarily a thing we see all the time, but in big moments, he'll pull it out.
One of your favorite gifts, one of mine, one of Nets fans everywhere. But Nick, we'll finish with this one because, you know, obviously the Nets aren't going to be playing some games for a while, but a little bit of a talking point for me was Taz Mellis on Twitter was saying, and this was a few days ago before, I think it was right after the Nets lost to the Raptors, and he said that the Raptors-Nets would be a playoff matchup if the season ended today, and it would be the first sweep in Toronto's franchise history. What a cocky yet accurate comment. I mean, I love the starters, I love the no-dunks, whatever they're called these days. I listen to them consistently, but I have to throw that thinking emoji out there tonight, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors had one successful postseason run, and they think they can talk trash. No! Do we not recall what happened like the last 5 years where they, you know, choked essentially most of the time? So I would calm down with that. Not to mention the Nets aren't even fully healthy, so I don't think it would be a sweep for sure, especially after what we saw so far this season. Definitely think the Nets could get some games in that series, and depending if they have, you know, their superstars, they might be able to win the series. So I think that's a little bit of a rash comment to make just because it's like I understand the fact that it's like such a high momentum, a 15-game winning streak, but like that's a peak level Raptors. That doesn't mean this is going to be the same level we see all year. We saw so many players on the Raptors from like a role player perspective play so well. Like one guy that really stuck out for me in this game that played a big role in the last game and he didn't have much of an impact at all tonight was Terrence Davis. You know, yeah. He was a big part of that win for the Raptors in Toronto. 1 point tonight, 0-6 from the field, 16 points. And I felt like the Nets understood how to play Kyle Lowry. He had 5 fouls. He was visibly frustrated. And he was just kind of trying to do his flop things. But the Nets have played him so many times, they understand how to deal with that. And he wasn't getting those flop calls.
Yeah, Matt Thomas as well, that guy that was just flaming and had like 13 points, I think, or 8 points in a quarter or something. He had like 3 minutes. So if the season were to end today, Nick, I'll throw another one at you. We have Kyrie Irving back. You know, we get a week off. Kyrie's knee's all right. KD isn't back. Would you rather verse the Raptors or the Celtics in a seven-game series?
That's tough. I mean, I definitely have some personal disdain for the Raptors. Like, I do not enjoy watching Kyle Lowry play basketball. He just literally drives me nuts because I've never, like, seen a player complain about so many calls and then expect to get all the calls on the other end, too. Like, it's like, you know, play it one way. The only other guy that comes to mind is Draymond Green. So, like, those two just kind of drive me nuts sometimes. But it's hard to ignore the narrative of the Boston Celtics series, especially, like, if Kyrie was able to knock them down. And I think there's one visible mismatch for the Nets against the Celtics would be Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan. We're in the Raptors series. Like, the Raptors, they can match up with the Nets, and the Nets, I don't know if can fully match up with them because of Pascal Siakam, who had an off game tonight. But I feel like the Nets can deal with what Boston has, and there's a better matchup for them to beat them, where Toronto has some advantages that the Nets just probably can't overcome without Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Nanda comes to mind for me, Nick, is a bit of a Marcus Smart, that kind of guy. My Boston accent is seriously, I feel like I should be doing a Boston Celtics podcast for the OTG Network.
Yeah, it really but did, Mark, because at first I didn't know what you said.
Marcus Smart. I feel like Mark Wahlberg right now and one of his brothers, or Donnie, or however many he has there. Marcus Smart reminds me of a Kyle Lowry type. And, you know, he loves to flop and he doesn't chat as much as the Kyle Lowry does. But Marcus Smart does have that sort of flair where it's just like, dude, you stop flopping. You try to be one of the best defensive players in the league. It's hard to take you seriously sometimes. But, you know, he provides that similar sort of anger and disdain that you have for Mr. Fat Caboose Kyle Lowry. But, Nick, any final notes on this one before we head into the All-Star break? Joe Harris, he's going to be winning that All-Star three-point contest, Mountain Dew, whatever the heck sponsor it is for it now. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, I went. I did my picks on the outlet. I picked Joe and I picked Spence. And I picked Derek Jones Jr. for the dunk contest.
Ooh, all right. I'm going Spence and I'm going Joe Harris and I'm going a late comer. Jared Allen is going to step in. He's going to take Dwight Howard's place and he's going to poster him, and it's going to be the best dunk that we've seen since Larry Markkanen.
Yeah. Wow, that was a really good dunk. That's the best dunk. Is that the best dunk of Jared's career? Probably is.
I mean, the fact that it comes to mind and springs to mind so quickly for me, I mean, it's... I mean, maybe DeAndre makes a comeback and he Brandon Knight's now, where is he? He's in Detroit. He gets him out there and he does the old stank face and we get the old DeAndre of old. I mean, both of our guys could easily win the dunk contest. What are we doing? Why's Dwight back in this? Jared Allen, DeAndre, give me that Nets action.
No, honestly, I don't know why Dwight's in it, but that's for a whole nother podcast. Jack, what do you think is going to be the biggest thing for the Nets over this, you know, All-Star break? Is it just getting the rest for the entire team, or is it just like the possibility of Kyrie coming back, or you think it doesn't really matter?
Oh, I think rest is incredibly important, Nick. I think that, you know, it's overrated in terms of, you know, how taxing it is for some of these players to, you know, shoot 20 or 30 threes. It's just like, yeah, they're going to Chicago, and that's probably the main thing. It's the travel aspect. How long are they there? How many events are they doing? Are they staying up late in the Chicago clubs? I don't think Joe Harris is going to be doing that. I think he's going to be a bit busy practicing his threes. Hopefully we see some behind-the-scenes action, and the Nets social media team gets in on that. I think that Kyrie Irving is the main thing that we need to be focusing on, Nick, because the Nets at their best, you know, it's about Kyrie Irving, our best player. You know, obviously, discounting Kevin Durant in this. There is going to be plenty of Kevin Durant rumors coming around as well. The fact that the Nets are hanging around, they got a seventh seed. Maybe they could sneak in. We've spoken about it consistently. But, you know, it's almost the fact that the Nets have been playing so well has taken away from the fact that we've barely spoken about Kyrie Irving and his knee injury. We chatted about it a little after the Raptors game and how Coach Kenny was like, yeah, we reevaluate him every single day. No new news. But after this All-Star break, I think it's going to be the number one storyline for the Nets, because this win will be forgotten. It's just one of 53 games, and then we need to go, all right, when is our dude coming back? When is he gonna, what's the starting lineup gonna be like? So for me, it's Kyrie. It's all about him.
Yeah, and I think the number one thing, like, not only is the fact you're getting back Kyrie Irving, one of the best point guards in the NBA, I think this just helps a lot with the second unit issues. Like, that's the one thing that always consistently sticks out to me. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I would assume more than half of Karis's turnovers came when he was playing with the second unit, because things just get so stagnant when you only have one, plus offensive player out there. So I think the fact that Kenny's going to be able to stagger, a Kyrie, a Karis, and a Spencer, and have two of those three out there probably at all times, just going to make the Nets that more effective. The real key is, though, maintaining that defensive energy they've been playing with. You mentioned early, top 10, top 8, whatever it is after this game. That's an identity they can roll with. And with the guys they have in terms of pick and roll and isolation and tough shot makers, from a Kyrie Irving to a Caris LeVert to a Spencer Dinwiddie, and then having some elite shooting in Joe Harris and Torian Prince, that just makes you an incredibly difficult team, because now you can play that great defense and then you have the possibility of getting scorching hot offensively.
That's a team that can win a playoff series, Nick.
It really is. And I mean, I think Kenny mentioned being, optimistic moving into the second half of the season. I think Nets fans should too, because there's a real opportunity. There's a real, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but we
Buzz. You're
have.
looking for buzz. Buzz is the word, Nick.
There's a real Brooklyn buzz, Jack, around
Hey!
this team. And it's just
Favorite
like
podcast as well.
they can really hit another level that we haven't seen yet. We are far from seeing this team peak. And I'm not even talking about with Kevin Durant. I just think the unit we've seen so far this season, we've yet to see them play at this like type of level with Kyrie back. We haven't seen Kyrie, Karis, and Spencer all play well together. That's the one thing I'm waiting for.
Buzzing, Nick. Absolutely buzzing.
That's what I like to hear. Heading into the All-Star break with some positive momentum. Jack, always a pleasure. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, and Blue Wire Pods.